everyone is learning to adapt in this new world, including millions of teachers who now have to make this distance learning thing work. There's a lot to consider: wrangling and keeping the attention of your students, being attuned to their emotional and physical well-being, and managing what can easily become an around-the-clock job. Today, we're going to check in on two teachers. First, let me introduce you to Jim Perry. He teaches at Stewartville Middle and High School in Stewartville, Minnesota, and he joins us now from his home. And Jim, welcome. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Distance learning is kind of exhausting, though. I would much rather be in the classroom, and I miss that face-to-face interaction that I normally would have with my students.
Yeah, that makes sense when you really think about it. I mean, you're a teacher, but you're also a coordinator for this program that focuses on the social and emotional well-being of your students. So I can imagine that face-to-face interaction means a lot. How have you been able to navigate this work with the kids remotely?
I was looking for a creative way, knowing that I might not have face-to-face time with them on Google Meet or through messages, to be able to continue to teach the character lessons about life that we normally use in class. So I started recording these videos called Reach Reflections and sending those out through social media and actually as lessons for my students and their families to watch together.
And what's been the reaction from the students?
Right away, within the first couple of days, I had a parent that emailed me to say that his family sits down in the evening to watch the videos together, to kind of process the meaning behind the videos and the message being given, and that they are doing their best to put that message into action the next day. To me, that's really what it's all about.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said about being exhausted. I mean, I just can only imagine, too, trying to come up with ingenious ways of being able to interact with the children since you can't see them face to face. You've been able to do that, but this takes a lot of work. I was actually hearing that your days are really, really long.
Yeah, my days have been very long. So I work with students who need support, and that starts before 7 o'clock in the morning. And depending on the situation of the day, I can still be in contact with students as late as 11 or 11:30 at night. Some of that does get in the way of family. I've got three children of my own. They're 17, 16, and 15. And there are certain days that they come out and actually join me while I'm filming the videos. I do them outside in an area park. We go for a walk and we talk about the benefits of outside time and exercise while recording these messages about gratitude, compassion, acceptance, meaning, forgiveness, and ideas like that. So I'm trying to include my children in these messages as much as I can as well.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges that your students are dealing with? I mean, you just mentioned you're talking to them late into the night and early in the morning.
Right. Well, you know, my focus all along with the REACH program has been on adverse childhood experiences and trauma in the home or difficulties in the home. Some of them have families that there's unemployment has become an issue or food insecurity has become an issue. They are trying to figure out how to navigate a brand new world. And as teachers, I feel like it's part of our job not only to teach content, but to also help them learn how to navigate the brand new world and find their own place in it.
Hmm.
A lot of the lessons that I talk through are about and are directly influenced by my upbringing and the difficulties that I had as a youth growing up here in town, knowing that, again, adversity is everywhere. It's not something new. It's not something that we need to shy away from. We just need to do our best to help others through it by providing unconditional love and non-judgmental support.
Yeah, this is obvious, and it's so obvious for really all teachers. I mean, this is not just a job for you. This is a mission for you. It is a scary time, not only for adults, but for children, as you see every single day. What are the things that you're thinking about as you move through the rest of this school year and really the unknowns as we move into the summer and then the potential for next school year?
Yeah, that's a scary thought. You know, honestly, I am thinking day to day, and anything that I can do to offer my students and their families and kids everywhere. I'm not just concerned about my own students, but I'm concerned about the emotional well-being of students everywhere in the country. As teachers, what is it that we can do on a daily basis to offer compassion and understanding and set that example and set that bar really high, knowing that these are all qualities that we want them to be able to share with others themselves?
Mm. That's Jim Perry. He's a teacher at Stuartville Middle and High School in Stuartville, Minnesota. Jim, thank you so much for your work, and please take care of yourself.
Thank you very much. I'm blessed to get to do what I do.
And now let's go to Pritchard, West Virginia to talk with Amber McCoy. She's a fourth grade teacher and president of the Wayne County Education Association. Amber, welcome and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We actually heard from Jim Perry in Minnesota. He's a teacher there. He's found himself working these really long hours to maintain contact with his students. We know that teachers are not required to reach out to their students every day. I'm wondering from you, how have you maintained communication with your students during this outbreak?
Well, I will tell you, whenever people ask me about this, I always say I went from managing 21 nine-year-olds from 7 to 3, I've gone from that to managing 21 nine-year-olds, 42 parents, two online classroom platforms. I mean, it's a lot. But I want to maintain as much normalcy for my kids as I can, and they're used to seeing me every day. So I set up a Facebook page for my class. It's a closed group, and my kids log on at 7 every evening, and every evening we do, I read aloud, the kids comment, you know, about what we're reading, and we've done a Zoom meeting so everybody could see each other and show off their pets. That was the biggie on our Zoom meeting, was everybody wanted to show their pets.
Oh, I can imagine that. They're home. They have a lot of things to show you now.
Yes.
When you talked about the parents being another set of circumstances that you're managing, as a parent, I'm wondering, what can we do to make it easier for you? I mean, I chuckled at that, but the struggle is actually real for parents who are trying to separate that home time and school time.
Yes, it absolutely is. And for me, whenever I assign things to my kids, I want to make sure that there is as little parent involvement as possible, because many parents are still going to work every day. I completely understand what it is to be that person. So we use our online curriculum a lot, and it has an instructional module within it. So it shouldn't require a whole lot of parent input. Now, the extra things that I've assigned for my kids, like following a recipe and cooking something for your family, yeah, those are the things that I'm trying to incorporate into school. For me, I would much rather my parents reach out to me at any time that there's an issue, because that eliminates the stress from the home. And I would rather answer a question immediately than have my nine-year-olds worried about their parents adding to their stress and anxiety at this time.
There are so many factors, though, that are outside of your control. How are you doing, and how are you navigating? You know, you're part counselor, part teacher, part friend to your students. It's a lot to carry.
It is a lot. And I'll tell you, here's one of our biggest concerns is we have a goal of making contact with every student or their parent twice a week. So whenever we weren't able to establish those connections early on in this process, we had teachers that would get on the school bus that was running to the child's house that they hadn't been able to reach to deliver instructional materials, to say hello. We passed out computers. You know, those things have been a blessing.
And it sounds like it's been helpful for you, because it's given you peace of mind that you can still be on that mission, that track that you're on in trying to prepare your students for fifth grade in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, we're all worried and we're all concerned, but I feel like that the normalcy really helps kids, as much routine as possible. You know, every morning we get up, we have breakfast, 9 o'clock, we start and we do our math and our language. Or if parents are still working, then set aside a time in the evening to work on that. Kids thrive under routine and structure.
Routine and structure, absolutely. That's fourth grade teacher Amber McCoy. She's also president of the Wayne County Education Association in West Virginia. Amber, thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.